Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast with me, Sam Harris, your host. I invite fascinating humans from all walks of life to share their wisdom and unpack their mindsets and formulas for growth. On the show today, we have Bryony Thomas, the author of Watertight Marketing, and she also runs the marketing agency Watertight Marketing. And she is a truly incredible human being who was one of my favorite guests on the show who I interviewed many years ago. So had a really interesting tale of adversity and how she built her business and a scalable brand through one of the most difficult times in her life. And this was a while ago. And since then, she's also had to battle through cancer and again has come through it really strongly and is still knocking it out of the park with her business, which is just a really brilliant business that helps a lot of businesses that are struggling to really define what they're doing and grow in ways that they probably didn't think were possible. And she only says really amazing things. It was one of those interviews where like I basically didn't do anything and the guest just constantly speaks brilliant words and I'm just there like, wow, I don't need to do anything here. I'm just sitting here having fun, learning way more than I expected. So just buckle in and sit down for a lovely interview with Bryony Thomas, who is going to teach you lots about life and business.
What is a setback or failure that set you up for a later success?
I don't know how to say it. It sounds so melodramatic to say it, but I kind of feel like the year that I stepped away from my business, although it was a year in grief, and I was, you know, I did literally hide, and I couldn't really go to client meetings without bursting out crying at some point, which was hardly professional. And so in that year, I got the licensing contracts drawn up. I recorded the first versions of the video that make up our master plan program. I hid and created a body of content that, had I been running a business alongside, probably would have taken me 10 years. And I think I did it in 1 year. So having that real, almost a societally approved reason to hide. I went into my shell. There was a tortoise in its shell for a year, and it allowed me to create lots of stuff. And I did create a lot of stuff. So I've been talking about the second edition of Watertight Marketing now for 4 years. And because I'm now running the business that we've described, the carving out time to sit and do that is, I've been saying it'll be ready in 6 months for 4 years. And so that year, which at the time felt like a very frustrating delay, I think has created the platform on which I've been able to
scale the business. It was really useful.
Yeah.
It was being a great double analogy of the use of tortoises.
Yeah,
it does sound like potentially it was like quite a good way in terms of, like, I was asking you, how did you manage to turn it into such a scalable thing when it sounds like it's just a very unscalable business model of your time?
Yes.
That's sort of really, it's like a forcing function to make you step away
from. Yes. I closed the door, I turned off my email, I didn't engage in social media, and I hid.
Yeah.
And I came out when it was finished.
Yeah. It's like kind of backwards business advice to
completely
make your business grow much faster.
Slow down. Yeah. And you'll find that. I think you will find the backwards business logic runs through almost everything you would hear me say is counterintuitive to what most people say. So, you know, I say turn your marketing upside down. I say turn your customer inside out. Build it all backwards. Slow down. In almost every glib classic business truism, I will usually go, nah, you don't want to do it like that.
Yeah, that's exactly the conversation we had a month ago. And I was like, so I'm thinking about raising like a small seed round or something. You're like, Sam, don't bother. Just go like clients. Don't be stupid, Sam. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
I've just been told to do that by an investor. And it's like, oh, okay. Okay, the opposite direction now. But yeah, that's really good advice. What does a growth mindset mean to you?
Always learning, you know, never seeing yourself as the finished product. In this series of 10-minute live videos, I talked about reading business books, for example. So I read a lot of business books. I couldn't count the number of business books I've read in my life, but there are a handful that I have read more than 5 times. So I usually listen to a book. So I'll listen on Audible, and then if I like it, I'll buy it so that I can write on it. And if I really like a book, I use it. So I don't read business books like novels. It's not like, oh, great, I got to the end of the plot, next one. I read them and I read them and I read them again and implement. Yes. So what's a growth mindset?
That's
always be learning.
yeah, I've been writing up kind of a blog on that kind of general thought for business books, because I generally find if you just read a book once, it's basically you've just built an opinion on it. So it's like, it's basically I can rate that book now. I can't really use it or do much. As in, I've read it all and kind of vaguely remembered it, but not really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas you should study a book. If it's like, it's a good book, you should like put in the time and like as if you're taking an exam on it or something. And
well, this is precisely the analogy I was about to use. So, you know, people who get A's in their A levels and distinctions in their degrees did not revise once.
Yeah.
If you want to do something well, typically repetition is a critical part of mastery, isn't it? So, the 10,000 hour rule, that to become a truly to master something, you need to practice and practice and practice and practice and practice. And that's how you get there. And so I kind of, I get a little bit irritated, particularly in social media land, with people doing quick wins, rather than going deep. So
yeah, depth as well as breadth. It's important. Yeah, I was kind of thinking sort of on the 20-80 rule, it's almost worth sort of putting a book down after the 20% if it's not amazing, because you kind of, after 20% of it, you kind of already know most of what's going to happen and like how well you're going to like it, but you're
too
not
right.
You need to read it again. So you may as well just stop there and then spend the extra time reading the ones that are really good.
Absolutely right. Which is why I do Audible. So I always recommend with watertight marketing that people read it like a novel first time. So you let it wash over you, you don't make any notes. If you don't know how it all comes together, then just keep reading, the plot will come together. So you kind of let it wash over you and then you read it again actively. And so that's what I tend to do when I'm kind of reading a business book. I will listen to it fairly passively, probably in the car or whilst running or something. And then I don't always listen all the way through. So there are quite a few I've given up on because they don't fit my values or just doesn't feel right. And then if I like it, I will then read it again in an active way with a notebook that's dedicated to that book and all that sort of stuff. But you're right. If it's not, I think do a quick, you kind of flick through, you get a sense of the whole thing. You read the first two chapters and so, and if it's not, if you don't think you're going to actually implement something in there, then just put it down.
Yeah, cool. Yes, yeah, nice to talk to someone who's been doing the exact kind of same thing as me. Okay, so what's the biggest risk you have taken?
Oh man, how many? I mean, many? So when I set up my own in 2008, I left a six-figure salary. My husband wasn't working. We had just taken on a mortgage commensurate with a six-figure salary. So I decided to leave and set up on my own. That was quite a big one. Every job I've ever left, I've left without anything to go to. I've left because I don't want to be there anymore and thought I will find something big. I've invested a lot over my life in learning and what it's so I paid for an MBA and took time to study that. I spent £20,000 publishing the book.
Wow.
And I've invested in this business. So, you know, every penny of the inheritance that I got from my dad, whilst it wasn't a huge amount, but it all went into the business. So, you know, I've taken financial risks.
Which of those felt the most like unsure? Because I think it's quite easy for me to sort of appear like I'm a very risky individual, but actually most of the things I do, I've sort of calculated ahead, if you know what I mean. And has my so do
yeah.
20K in publishing the book, if you had already sort of got stuff in plans and you sort of knew what was going to happen, it's hard for me to gauge which one of those would have been the riskiest out of the things you just mentioned.
Although I am a planner, and I really am, I probably, the risks I take are based, they're more intuitively taken, I would say. So the other thing that I've always done as a time for money consultant, and indeed, you know, with people who are coming on board to potentially license with us, is that I say no to things. I've turned clients down when I didn't know how I was going to pay the mortgage the next month because I didn't want to work with them. And I knew that taking their money would sap my energy to the extent that I wouldn't have the energy to go and find people I do want to work with.
Yeah.
And so by saying no, even though I need the money, it needed the money in the early years of consultant, I would have, that then forced me to go and do more networking, more speaking and talking to what it is that I did want. So, yeah, and that's intuitive. Usually in the time for money thing and also the licensees coming on board with us, I've said no because it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And I'm quite happy with that.
Cool. Yeah, that's Interesting.
I met someone recently, actually, where he had invited me along to a business meeting for someone who wanted us to do some work for. It was a few years ago. So we'd gone along and he wanted us to do a load of work for some event he was planning or something. It all sounded really good and the business model looked really good. But it was a kind of equity-based thing. And I left the meeting and I said to this friend of mine, I'm not touching that with a barge pole. But I couldn't tell him why. Mm. And I met up with him a couple of years ago. He said, what was it that told you that that was wrong? Because he lost a load of money on it. Wow. And I said, honestly, can't tell you. Mm. But I knew it was wrong.
Yeah. It's one of those where I feel like I'm getting a bit better at that now. Because when I was younger, I thought I had that skill and apparently I didn't. But yeah, I've had like a similar situation with sort of some things that I sort of lost money on. Mm-hmm. Like meetings where it sounded amazing. But now I'm a bit more like, actually, that weird feeling that I sometimes have about stuff, I should go with that feeling as opposed to the logic of what's coming at me.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Growth Mindset Podcast. Before you head on to another episode, what's your biggest aha moment from today's discussion? You can share with us your insights and join us on Reason FM. Reason FM is a social podcasting app and the best way to discover new podcasts, connect with hosts and other listeners. Also, don't forget to tune into the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast with me and my co-host Nico, and we expose you to a different perspective and dive into the world's most thought-provoking and inspiring books. That's all for this episode, and with that, keep learning and keep growing.